CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space exploring and the results of a NASA mission to the asteroid Dimorphos. It was called DART. It hit it, and there's been headlines in these last days about the orbit of the asteroid being changed in some fashion that exceeded expectations. However, Bob, this is about planetary defense or about hitting a moving object? Which is it?
Well, NASA sold the DART mission as a planetary defense mission. They're going to hit an asteroid that's far away from us. There's no risk doing so. And they'll therefore be able to figure out how they can use such a technique in the future to prevent an asteroid from hitting the Earth. That's a typical NASA PR lie, honestly. Yes, they'll find out something about what happens when you hit an asteroid. But what we do know about asteroids is the same thing we've learned about every astronomical object in the solar system. Every single one of them is unique. And so you hit one, that doesn't mean what you've learned is going to teach you anything about what you have to do when another one is threatening you. You really need to know a lot about the asteroid before you know. So they really did the DART mission to learn a lot about asteroids. That's really what they did, a science mission. And yes, it does tell us a little bit about planetary defense, but not very much. But you hit an asteroid, what happens? That's going to tell you a great deal about the structure of the asteroid, what it's made of, how it's impacted, and then if you change the orbit, you'll learn a lot about how orbital mechanics work. And this is what happened with Dimorphos. Dimorphos was a small 500-foot across asteroid that orbited another asteroid called Didymos that's about a half mile across. And they both together orbited the sun. They picked Dimorphos because they could change its orbit around Didymos very easily, they thought. And it wouldn't actually have a significant effect on the orbital, the solar orbit, and therefore it doesn't create a threat to us. So it's a good experiment, test experiment with no danger. So they hit Dimorphos. They expected at most they would change the orbit by about 73 seconds. The impact created a lot more debris and cloud than expected, and it turns out that additional ejecta material from the asteroid functioned to increase the amount of change to Dimorphos' orbit around Didymos. So instead of at most 73 seconds changing that orbit, they shortened Dimorphos' orbit around Didymos by 32 minutes, shortening it from 11 hours and 55 minutes to 11 hours and 23 minutes. Now, what this says is that if you've got a rubble pile of some kind and you hit it, the impact is going to actually change things more than you expect, but it's very hard to predict how much because you've got a lot of chaos going on with a lot of rocks and rubble. Now, they do not know at the moment whether this impacted the overall solar orbit of the two asteroids, and they will not know that for a period of time. They've got to wait to see how Didymos's orbit around the sun evolves over time. It shouldn't change a lot. Shouldn't change maybe at all, but it might, and we need to wait and find out. Meanwhile, they have to wait until the cloud settles down, and they're going to keep studying Dimorphos, and in fact, Europe has a mission called Hera that is going to launch in 24 and arrive at these two asteroids in 26 to see up close how this impact changed things, John. That'll be really exciting. It's basically going to be it's a kind of mission similar to both OSIRIS-REx and Hayabusa 2 looking at an asteroid up close. But in this case, they're looking at an asteroid that got really banged previously. And so that'll tell them, that'll be really a lot of information because they'll be looking at the interior of the asteroid because it got ripped up quite a bit.
You and I have mentioned, Bob, of another way to think about moving an asteroid that is potentially an object that could hit the Earth at some point in future is to use what is called a gravity tug, which I understand means to put a man-made object next to the asteroid, flying in tandem with it, and then because of the gravitational effect, ease it out of its orbit. That always struck me as a really cool idea. Is it impractical, Bob?
No, it's actually the best idea of all. As I said, you can't really predict what will happen when you impact an asteroid because you don't know the structure of the asteroid in detail, and there's a lot of chaos involved with that. But you know the mass of the object very precisely. You put a big object with a lot of mass next to it, you can actually very reliably adjust that asteroid's orbit over time. You need time to do it. You need to be able to put a lot of mass into orbit. Well, that's where Starship will come in down the road and other big rockets. But yes, that is a very good reliability. However, we must point out that we now have a catalog of near-Earth asteroids that's just top 30,000. And so that this is pretty cool, good news that we're now getting a very thorough look at all the asteroids that are close to the Earth. Now, it's not a complete list yet. This survey is going to continue for several more years, but I have a suspicion we're getting close to the point where we'll have a pretty good map of everything that might hit the Earth. And of these 30,000 asteroids that are known at the moment, only 1,400 have orbits that have a possibility of someday hitting the Earth, yet none of them are going to hit the Earth for the next 100 years. So we need not worry. We're not going to die in the near future. Chicken Little can go back to the 1,600 eggs and not bothering us.
However, Bob, I want to mention that in the scheme of things, asteroids and comets striking Earth are normal conduct of our solar system. It's a violent place.
Yeah, absolutely true. But, it's also a very old place covering billions of years. And we're in the late stages of the existence of the solar system. So most of the impacts occurred early days, less so now. Doesn't mean we don't do this survey. We've done it, and we're continuing to do it. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't be prepared, because impacts will happen down the road. But I think the threat is not as big as people.
The James Webb Space Telescope, more cool pictures. They've got a library of pictures. Oh, Bob, I wanted to ask you about that. There's a space network where you get data back. You download
The Deep Space Network.
Right,
yes.
And you've talked about how it gets backed up and we have to wait. I remember that was especially around Pluto. Do you think James Webb has priority on that network, which is why we keep
that? They don't give any particular object priority. They might give some objects priority at different periods of time. There also is a European deep space network, so we have some redundancy, and China's making its own right now. So they got coverage, and the system's been upgraded, so it's easy to get data down. But they shift the priority depending on situations. But when Webb's got launched, it gets priority for the initial images. The image we're talking about here is of a massive star that's in the last stages of life. It periodically, it's a binary, so when the other star gets close, it has an eruption and spits out a shell of dust. The Webb infrared image shows the dust, and it shows that they form in concentric rings. It's quite cool, quite neat, John. Very nice picture.
And we go to TESS. What is TESS, Bob?
TESS is the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. It's covering the entire hemisphere of the sky, looking for transiting exoplanets. It's found about 250. Well, a few days ago it went into safe mode, and they're now trying to figure out what went wrong. They think basically the computer did a Windows reboot, and they have to get the Windows out of death mode right now.
You mean it's Microsoft? Microsoft, is that simple? Just like
no, not specifically. I'm just referring to Microsoft Death in general.
Fine.
But it had a reboot problem.
Bob Zimmerman, the website is Behind the Black to watch for SpaceX Starship Super Heavy launch. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.